Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am elated to welcome Danny Nodelman to the show. Danny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Damali.
Oh my goodness. So you are in for a treat today, but before we jump into the show, I have to tell you how Danny and I met. I met Danny probably about 6:45, 7 a.m. one Wednesday morning. I was visiting BNI, which stands for what, Danny?
Business Network International.
That's right. And I was the guest of my dentist, actually, Dr. Joshua Perlman. And Danny and I connected. She was amazing and incredible. She had her own practice. She's an attorney, and I'll let her tell you a little bit more about what she does. But I met her at a crossroads in my life when I was working still in corporate America, and I was contemplating starting my own law firm. And I was on the fence. You know, starting your own company for any entrepreneur is risky, and you really have to leap off of a cliff. And so Danny came to my office. We actually sat in Starbucks downstairs in my building. And not only did she encourage me and tell me that I could do it, but she also said, hey, here's the blueprint. This is the roadmap for you to follow to make things just less overwhelming. And I don't know if I would have the company that I have today if it weren't for Danny. And so that is who Danny is to me. And I'm so happy to share her with all of you.
You're so sweet, Damali. Thank you. And I really appreciate our friendship, and I always knew that you would be the success that you are.
Oh, thanks, Danny. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. I am, first and foremost, I'm a mom. I am a wife. I have three little boys, Drew, Reed, and Chase. My husband, Mark, and I moved to Livingston, New Jersey a couple of years ago, and I have been in the burbs, you know, coming from the city, and I started my own practice, my law practice, 9 years ago.
Wow. I've
been working at a law firm for the previous 8 years doing wills and trusts. And I went out on my own 9 years ago and have never looked back.
What's amazing about that is you managed to balance it all, mom, wife, mother of three, and you have your own firm, and that's just quite impressive. What I also like is that you said you've been doing it for what? I don't want to make you sound old, Danny, but you're just a seasoned, amazing attorney. And what's random is any time that I talk to anyone who lives in New York or in New Jersey, and I say, oh, you have to go talk to Danny Nodelman, or have you heard of Danny Nodelman? Everyone knows you. Like, everyone. My dermatologist, my ENT, like, everyone knows you already. And so your work speaks for itself, and so does your amazing reputation.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I do pride myself on my
For those of you tuning in for the first time, you can simply call our hotline and leave a message asking a question that you're contemplating. And it doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything that's going on for you and maybe you're not sure how to navigate it. It could also be an actual conflict that you really want to hear from someone who's not invested in your situation. With a co-host on the air for the first time, we play the message and give you some feedback as to what we would do if we were in your situation. So what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, call us, and leave a message. Without further ado, Danny, what do you think? How about we play the first message?
Let's do it.
You have one message.
Hi, this is Frances. And my question is about how do I approach my elderly parents with regard to what to do after they pass away. I know that they have a will, but I don't know how they want things handled. I don't know where their accounts or information is, so that after they do pass away, I know where to go, where to look for information, and then what they want done afterwards. Do they have a cemetery plot already purchased? Will I need to go purchase one? Do they have a place in mind where they would like a funeral or a wake of some sort? So my question is really, how do I approach them how do I start the conversation with them without getting them upset and us going through a whole discussion about death and dying. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Wow, that's a very important question. And so many, you know, adults are, you know, have that question when they're dealing with their aging parents. And I would say first and foremost, the thing to do would be to get all of their estate planning documents that you know that they've created in one place. Make sure that you have a one-page statement of assets, an inventory of assets, where all of their bank accounts are, their financial institutions, all their real property. Make sure that all of their assets are just in one place, because it just makes for a much smoother administration once they've passed away. In addition to gathering their paperwork and their assets, you want to also get any siblings involved. And you know, come in together as one, as a team. You don't want to approach your parents and say, you know, who's gonna get all your money when you die? It's more.
That shouldn't be the first question, right?
No, just a second. Yeah. It's the emotional aspect and it's the financial aspect.
Right.
You know, the emotional aspect is, you know, coming to the realization that your parents will die, and them actually not being in denial. You know, they could be sick. They could be just getting up there in years.
So that's definitely a good way to start, just kind of thinking about all the things that they need to have. If they have some documentation already, figuring out what they have, having a statement of assets. This is really good information, Danny. Thinking about their assets. If you have siblings, getting them involved. You definitely don't want to be like the only person that's working on this and then people feel like you kind of took over the situation and didn't include them. And maybe some folks might decide they want to opt out. Maybe they don't want to deal with the question of, you know, mom and dad's mortality. And maybe they may not just be fit for figuring it out. Like, everyone has their strengths and weaknesses, right? And so for this caller, I think that's a great way to think about where to start. I mean, aside from assets, the caller was also asking about, you know, burial and things like that. And now these days, there's so many options for what to do once someone has passed away. Is that the type of information that you would think would go into a document, or, you know?
Sure. Okay. I draft a document called a final disposition authorization. And that really is a one-page document that will set forth your parents' wishes regarding end of life. Do they want to be cremated? Do they want to be buried? If they're cremated, where do they want their ashes spread? If they're buried, where do they want their remains interred? Those are all very, you know, important questions. You want to honor your parents' wishes. At the end of the day, if you don't have that document in place, then it's really up to the surviving spouse and the next of kin, the children of the decedent, to make those decisions. But you do want your parents to, you know, be involved, obviously.
Yeah.
And a lot of times with you know, parents do want to make their children's lives easier. So they will purchase a burial plot. There may be a cemetery or a funeral home or some place that they've gone, you know, before they've, you know, while they're alive and well and happy and healthy, and they purchase it, and you want to get that information. You want to make sure that you have that.
It's really important. So, Danny, what do you do? I mean, you've probably been in a situation before, and I know that I have, where you're talking to someone and they just don't want to really embrace the fact that, you know, life will end at some point. And so in the first instance, before you can even figure out where they have the accounts and where the assets are and what they want to do upon end of life, I mean, is this a conversation you have at their favorite restaurant, or, you know, like, how do you approach something that's so, you know, heavy in a way? And of course, you have to know your audience, right? So you should, we all know our parents, right? And so we all have to figure out a way to talk to them. I think too, though, you have to figure out, like, this is how to talk to them about this really serious, heavy topic. And what if they're completely healthy, right? So what if they don't have, you know, situation where they're aging or they're sick, but they're like running marathons, and you're like, you know, maybe something triggered it for you. Maybe one of your friends had a parent that passed away, or maybe you're looking at someone that you know or a mentor that's, you know, aging or sick or passing away, and that has triggered the idea for you that you know, what are my parents doing? Do they have a plan? So, I mean, what are some ways you can approach someone, a parent, to have this conversation?
I would say do it in a place where they're comfortable.
Ah, that's good.
Do it in the confines of their home. You know, again, get your siblings together if you have any, and go in the living room. Maybe open up a bottle of wine.
That's never hurt anything.
It doesn't. But just, you know, it's an important conversation. It's never a comfortable conversation. The time to do it is when they're healthy. And, you know, you can preface the conversation with, Mom and Dad, I want you to spend all your money. This is not about that.
Yeah.
This is really about honoring your wishes regarding distribution of your assets, regarding, you know, who will handle, you know, your post-death administration, and really what they want.
Because if they don't decide, if they don't have a will, what happens? Who decides?
Well, if they don't decide, then whatever state they're living in, it'll be the state laws of intestacy. When you die intestate, it means you die without a will, and the state actually will dictate where your money goes. So if you are married with children, your spouse will not get 100% of your assets in New York. Your spouse will get 50% and your children will get 50%. In New Jersey, it may differ, and every state has their own unique laws. So, you know, you really want to decide that, as opposed to leaving it up to the state to decide.
So if you know your parents and they're like anti-government, that's a good approach to say, well, do you want the state of blank deciding what happens with your money?
Exactly.
Something else that could work too is because if they're a little bit older, maybe they've seen some situations where some of their contemporaries, their parents are passing away. And we've all heard those horror stories, right? And so perhaps, you know, there's something to be said about reminding them of the situation that a friend of theirs experienced when the parent died without any information. In the situation where you're worried about your parents, Frances, and you're trying to figure out how to best approach them to talk about this, depending on the relationship that you have, one other approach that might work is just being like, I really want to give you time and attention to help you figure this out. And who knows how my health will be or what I'll be going through at the time. And it would be really helpful too for me to know what you want so that I don't have to sort of figure it out or make it up on the fly. And so some parents just have that instinct where they want to protect their children at all times. And so that might be a good way to approach it too. Yeah. And so Frances, look, first, I want to say that that's a really great question to have. You care about your parents. You want to help them plan for what will happen after they pass away. And so kudos to you, first and foremost, for just calling into the show. We're so fortunate to have Danny here, who is a trust and estates attorney and has a lot of experience in this area. Although what she does isn't really helping to plan for the conversation. It's more about planning things out once the conversation has occurred as to what should happen. It's just really great that you're thinking about it. So I think we've given you a few different ways to think about it. Talking to them in a place where they're comfortable, thinking about it from different perspectives, whether it's, do you want the government to plan what's going to happen with your assets, or do you want to plan it? Do you want me to have to figure this out at some time where I may not be, you know, at my best or able to manage everything? Or wouldn't it be great for us to have this conversation now so I can make this as to your liking? You know, and so I think we've given you a few things to think about. Please follow up. I always want to hear how things go. You know, I always want to hear what our callers are thinking and how they've considered the things that we've talked about, and keep us posted. Yeah? All right. Let's go to the second message.
You have one message.
Hi, my name is Sarah. And I was wondering if you could help me. I'm having an issue. Well, not issue, but I'm having a little trouble finding work-life balance. I am an entrepreneur. I have my own business. I have a four-year-old, and I'm married. I am trying to balance it all. Spend time with my husband, make sure, you know, I connect and have, you know, I spend enough time with my daughter and give my growing business all the attention that it needs. What advice could you give someone like me? I am a perfectionist. I try to do it all. I try to make everyone happy. And sometimes I fall short for the things that I need to do for myself. So I would love you to let me know what advice you can give for that. Have a wonderful day.
Ooh, the ever elusive work-life balance question, Danny. That's something that we're all still trying to figure out. Sarah, I think we can provide some insight, but that's a question that if we could figure out the answer, we'd be rich, right, Danny? Because everyone wants to know how to balance it all.
Yeah, it's so hard to balance, but I think that, you know, if you have, you know, your plan kind of laid out in front of you, you can get that work-life balance for sure. I mean, I have three kids. I have my law practice. There are a lot of times where I'm burning the midnight oil and I'm drafting documents, you know, until midnight, 1 a.m, but it gets done and I still get to pick my kids up from school. And, you know, a lot of times it's all about juggling. You know, when you're a mom and an entrepreneur, you're juggling. And, you know, you don't want to be jack of all trades, master of none, the old saying. but you can do it all. You can. And I know I've told you this, Damali, you can do it all. You can be a present mom and you can be a very successful entrepreneur. And, you know, you just need to have a plan. You need to have good people surrounding you.
Yes.
You need a lot of help. You know, there are some times where, you know, I rely on my friends and family members and caregivers to pick my children up and to take them to activities. If I have to run into the city, then you just have your team of people, your network.
It's so true. You definitely have to use your village. I think when I had an epiphany was my mom used to always say, oh, you have to always make sure that there's dinner for your family. Like, I remember that when I was a child. My mom always made dinner for us. And so then fast forward to I had my family and I was like stressing myself out with like working and making sure that I always had dinner. And then one day I had an epiphany and it was, I don't have to make the dinner. I just have to make sure that there is dinner. There's dinner on the table. Do you know, they didn't even notice. Like, I ordered food one day, dinner appeared, they ate it.
Seamless web is a wonderful
thing. Isn't it amazing? Food appeared, and the kids ate it, and no one said, ah, I wish mom cooked this. Guess what? Mom can't make Thai food. And so it was amazing. And so that was a nice way to kind of alleviate some of the self-imposed, I think, stress. And my takeaway from that is, you can have it all. Figure out how much of it you personally have to do. And I think that quality is more important than quantity, don't you think?
It is, absolutely. Quality time. You know, you want to maybe take however many, you have three children, you know, you have...
This caller, well, you have three.
I have three.
I have two. And this caller has one.
So make sure that you carve out time on a daily basis for your daughter. You know, take her out for dinner, go for ice cream. You know, read a book to her at the end of the day, you know, scratch her back, at, you know, before she goes to bed. You know, those are the things that she's going to remember. You know, the fact that you're working hard, you're doing it for her, and she will see a successful woman and she'll grow up to be a successful woman. You know, she'll have a great role model. So
that's so phenomenal. And I feel the same way about my mom. She, what I remember about her was her taking me to the park, her reading to me, taking me to the children's museums. Sometimes she would make matching outfits for us, which I still remember. We have to find those, Mom. Where are those outfits? But that's what I remember. I remember the quality time that we spent together. One of the things that I wanted to add to this that I think is oftentimes missing in the equation of work-life balance is that when we're moms and wives and sisters and aunties and bosses, entrepreneurs, CEOs, presidents, sometimes what's missing in that equation is us. How do we manage self-care? And so I want to mention that because I think we oftentimes put ourselves last and we do everything for everyone. We get our work done, we take care of home, etc. And then, like, I don't know about you, Danny, but I'm walking around right now with like no nail polish on.
<You know? laughs> Same.
Right.
Although my friend Dana would not be happy with me right now.
And so I think part of what's really important to think about, regardless of whether you are a working mom or a stay-at-home mom or just a person that has a family or no family, if you're just working a lot and trying to balance life, is to make sure you're making time and allocating important time to yourself. Self-care is so important, and that means different things for different people.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, if you like to exercise, then get up and go for a run. If you like to pamper yourself, go to the spa and get a massage once a month. Those are all things that I like to do. I definitely make time for myself, because if I didn't, then I would not be as good of a mom, and I would not be as successful an attorney.
Yeah, and sometimes too, that could lead to burnout. I was reading recently that burnout is now defined in many dictionaries, and is basically working all the time without allotting time to other things. And the last thing you want to do is burn out, and then you're just like, ah, oh, look at all these things that I've done for everyone around me, and I've just neglected myself. And so figure out what that is for you. For this caller, for Sarah, one of the things that I would add to all the great things that Danny said is, and to piggyback on what Danny said about having a plan and tapping into your village and finding a way to have it all by not doing it all yourself, but figuring out ways to work with other people in your community, in your group, in your support network to help you, is to also prioritize what's important to you. Right? Because I found that once I started prioritizing things, and I realized that last time I checked, there was still only 24 hours in a day, then that,
I wish there were more.
Right? I've been looking for more hours for a long time, Danny. I've been looking for them for a long time. I actually bought something that was really cool. It was recommended to me, I think, by Angela Hoddle or Carmen Morcos, and it's called the High Performance Planner. And this planner is like $16 on Amazon. And it's amazing because right in front of you, it asks some questions. So like, what do you want to do today? What do you plan to accomplish? What if you get upset about something? How are you going to pivot? How are you going to come back? What's the best thing that can happen? What's the worst thing that can happen? And how would you address it? And it's a really great way to think about the big picture, think about yourself. And it asks, what are the top three things that you're going to do today? And then it asks, like, what must get done today, regardless of what it is? And I think it has the calendar going from maybe 7 a.m. to maybe 8 p.m. And so the point is that it's a great way to see that there are only so many hours in a day. And if you have a list of 27 things you want to accomplish and you only cross off three, then you're going to feel like you didn't accomplish anything. Well, what if those were the most important three things you had to accomplish that you could only accomplish today? Then you should feel successful because you've accomplished the most important three things. And maybe some of those other 27 things were like, get my nails done, or something that wasn't as important. Always, always.
No, and lists are a big thing for me. I love making lists, and I love checking off that list. I feel so accomplished.
It's true, but you know, sometimes I write a list first thing in the morning and I'm super excited about it, but I always put more things than I could realistically accomplish. And so, like you, I love checking them off, but when I see like, oh, I didn't do that, I'm just like, oh, it was almost perfect. And I feel like I have a lot of almost perfect days, but in any other circumstance, it'd be a perfect day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But I never check everything off my list. A call will come in, you know, an unexpected client will call and I'll need to address that for an hour, you know. So you never check everything off your list, but if you can get a few good checks on,
yeah,
paper, on a daily basis.
And you can't plan for everything. I like that point, Danny. You can't plan for everything. Yeah. Sometimes something unexpected will occur and we have to be able to be flexible to address those things that arise. I like that. And so for you, Sarah, I would just say that, one, you're doing the right thing. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about how to be 100% into your business, your family, your daughter, your husband. And we've added, also find a way to be 100% into you to make sure you're taking care of yourself. And try right making a list, which it sounds like you might be. You said you're a perfectionist. I know that I am. I assume that I know Danny. She's a perfectionist too.
Yes, I am.
And what I've found at being a perfectionist is that for me, sometimes perfection is when I can get everything done in a day, even if I'm like tight, meaning like there's nothing, like I use every second of the day, and then I'm like pat myself on the back like, yes, I did everything I'm supposed to do, and then I crash at the end of the night because I'm exhausted, I'm like falling asleep trying to take off my makeup, you know, because I've done everything. And so I've had to revisit what I think perfection is. The older I get, the more I take on, and as life has changed. You think, have you found the same thing, Danny? Yeah. And see, perfection is, I think we put ourselves in, you know, a tight situation sometimes. And so you said that you try to do it all. You try to make everyone happy and you fall short. But that I'm going to tell you that you're probably doing a great job.
You're not falling short at all.
You sound like Superwoman, Sarah. I'm just going to say it. And I think that work-life balance, you know, someone told me recently that the word shouldn't be balance, that it should be something else, like work-life something, because balance implies, oh, I know what she said. She said that balance doesn't imply equal distribution. She said that if you think about a scale, it can be heavier on one side and be balanced, or, you know, and that makes sense to me if you think about that visualization of a scale. And so you don't have to put, you know, depending on if you're talking about like four different things, 25% in each thing. And sometimes there'll be situations where you have to put 100% into one aspect of your life and zero into something else. And that might be the balance on the scale at that time.
In that particular day.
Yeah, that makes sense,
There's
right?
Always tomorrow.
It's always tomorrow. It's so true. And so, Sarah, hopefully that was helpful. There are a lot of things that you can think about when trying to have more balance in your life, and hopefully you'll let us know how things are going. I'd love to know what business you're in. That would be pretty cool. I love meeting both Danny and I love meeting other entrepreneurs, and so please keep us posted. Sarah and Francis, thank you so much for calling in today. Audience, thank you for tuning in. And Danny, thank you so much for being here today. You're such a wonderful, wonderful person.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure, and thank you for having me, Molly.
Absolutely. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BreakthroughAdr. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.